As always, subscribe and click the notification bell on our YouTube channel. Be active on our Facebook group, East Coast Distressed Note Investing, and be sure to go to our website for all your note investing tools, resources, and available assets. If you have any questions, email us at tradedesk@jkpholdings.com.
You needed money, and so people get caught up in this interest rate, which I completely understand. But if I would have charged you 30%, which we don't, this deal worked for you because of what the upside and what you unlock, what you can do with that money and what it saved. Would I be accurate?
Yes, of course. So there's a couple of reasons why I will not care about an interest rate. What do I care if it's 15%, 17%, or even 30% if I'm making 75% on a deal?
Well, I'm not going to give away 15%, 16%, 20% because it's a deal, but you use our money to make 75% on it. Hey, everyone. I'm Dave Putz. Good afternoon, everyone. And alongside me, Mr. Nathan Turner. How are you, Nathan?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Good, man. It looks like you're not home relaxing at your desk. Where are you?
I am actually in Dallas, Texas right now, cooking. It is so stinking hot. Yeah, I'm here at a dental conference. I'm out looking for investors.
Oh, we thought maybe you should get your teeth done. Dental conference. Interesting. Well, hopefully you become successful down there and convince these awesome people with a lot of money to do some work with you. Congrats,
that's
man.
That's the plan, yeah.
So it's been an interesting few months. For those who are brand new to our live stream and our videos, this will be recorded, posted on YouTube and our podcast. In the last 8 months, you and I have done a lot of work with seller finance, owner finance, wrap notes, subject twos, RMLO world.
Yeah.
And I think one of the greatest things you said last webinar was that you're amazed how so many people who are note originators or seller finance or creative finance people does not know about note buyers.
Yeah, I'm astounded. And part of that, I think, comes from my background. I started off as somebody creating notes as well. And my whole intent at that time was I started creating these notes, and then my thought process immediately went to, okay, how do I cash out of these? Surely there's got to be a way, like you can sell a rented property, so surely you can sell a note. I didn't even know it was called a note at the time, but that's okay. I figured there's got to be a way to cash out of these.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I went looking for note investors. And so I don't know, I guess I assumed everybody was doing that. But we've been surprised to find out how many of these note creators don't know that we're out there.
Yeah, and I think that it's either lack of education, lack of knowledge, or just a different world, right? We are in a different world than most of the people out there that they just don't get what we do. And we're trying to help that community not only understand the exit strategy of selling that note that they created, but also understand what's needed to sell it for the highest dollar, right? Yeah. To make it a win-win for you as well as for us, to make sense for both of us. And I think that's a key element for everything to happen successfully to bridge this huge gap together. And in two things that we have coming up, one is sooner or the other, for those people who are curious about the note investing space, Nathan and I are rehosting our 5-week advanced level training for note investing, which include a calculator, a non-performing calculator, due diligence. So if you're a note originator and curious what note buyers do, that class is a key element. It's an advanced class, so it does get rid of the basics. And Nathan and I run it for 5 weeks. I highly encourage you guys to check that out and be part of that small group of investors.
Yeah.
What are the other ways these note originators, seller finance, subject to people, how else can they connect with us next May, June?
Well, let me back up for the class, first of all.
Yeah.
It is an advanced class, but anybody who's creating notes, you qualify as advanced. Yes. If you've got a knowledge of how notes work because you've created them, you definitely, you're part of that advanced group. So don't be intimidated by that, because sure, that's, you're definitely part of that group. On top of that, though, if you want to come and meet with Dave and I and a dozen other note investors or more
many dozens,
several dozen, people who are in notes, people who are looking to buy notes, we've got an amazing conference, the Diversified Mortgage Expo. I just took it over this last year, ran our first one in Nashville in June this last year. The next one is already being planned. We're already making all kinds of plans for this. We're scheduled to go back to the same hotel in Nashville next year, May 31st and June 1st. So heads up, tickets aren't even on sale yet, but just heads up for that. Make sure you put it in your calendar, so you don't want to miss it. It's the place to be to just network, network, network. We did our survey at the end of conference, and just, you know, one of the questions we asked was, what's the most valuable thing that you took from this? And like 90% of them all just said networking. Yeah. So it is super important. We've said this over and over again about this is a relationship business. Part of that is getting out and meeting people and talking with them, want to have dinner together, drinks together, whatever. That's a big deal.
Sure. So yeah, I encourage you highly. We had some of the more advanced subject to people come to our conference last, or not mine, Nathan's conference last year. Yeah. And the names we had there, I'm sure all of you guys either follow or took their trainings. They joined us. They're probably on the call right now. The Nick, Mark Monroe, and, you know, Brian Carlson, all those people out there, Dan Diaz, who are great leaders in that space, came and said, oh my God, I got to have my people come next year to this. It's a great wealth of information. So I would encourage you to do both. Get into the advanced class. We're starting September 5th. Take a look at that. If you need information, it's on our website or on my website, jkpholdings.com/advanced note investing, or just shoot us an email. We'll get to you. And then the DME is also there, which we can connect you to. So feel free to reach out, branch together, connect with us, and let's make some money together, right? So one of the things we've come across.
There's videos available.
Yes, we have videos available of last year's. Yep.
For the last DME, which are great.
Yep.
They're good quality. The sound is really great. You're going to be able to follow up very, very well and get some great education that way. It's really an inexpensive way to get kind of caught up to speed. What you don't get there is the networking. So make sure you sign up for
next. We are live on Facebook, LinkedIn, I think Instagram, Twitter. So right now I'm putting the chats onto those platforms. If you missed it, let us know. But you can definitely check out all those information. So we want to make sure that you guys all get what we're doing here, right? This whole space of note investing is a huge thing for all of us. But what we don't realize is that it is also available for those people who may not want to sell their note. What they may want to do is hold a note.
Yeah.
And we've talked about wrap notes being a little hard to sell because you have an underlying buyer, a borrower that you have a connection with, and things like that. So we want to make sure that we solve that problem for those people who have originated a note that either took over existing borrower's asset, subject to, then sold that property to what we call a wrap buyer, so it's a wrap note, and they sold to them. That system is great. We just want to make sure that if we go ahead and bought that note, we want to avoid the complexities of that purchase. So one of our ways of doing that is we can buy the whole note and work out the power of attorney and stuff like that, which we have webinars previously about that. Or we can actually give you money for a period of time and lend you the money. So what we do is, we, instead of giving you the money, you give us a note, you keep the note and you use the note as collateral, and use our money to do whatever you want to do with it. We would tell you that we would first want you to pay off that underlying lien. We know it's 3%. We know that frustration, but we have other videos why. It makes it simpler for us, but we can work out the details if you have a situation that's specific for you. Given that, this idea, which we did a video on note partials versus hypothecations a while back, is what we call hypothecation, which means you're borrowing money using the note as collateral. The note never changes hands, and we just create a brand new note, right? This concept's been around for a while. We just never heard anyone really use it. Well, guess what? We're using it. So we did put our toes in the water, and we tested this out. And what you may find out is really interesting, because it became a win-win for both sides. They unlocked equity. They were able to save a property. And we got a return that would make sense for us. So let me switch out here. Nathan, anyone to talk before we bring our guest of honor on?
No, I'm really excited about this. I haven't tried this yet. I'm really interested in it. You and I have gone over some numbers on it. It makes sense, even when I'm borrowing money, to do this. So
yeah,
awesome. I'm still learning this too. So I'm excited to have our guest on.
Yeah. So I'm going to bring him in right now. I realize that we're going to bring him on here now. He just got introduced to us a few weeks ago. So I have to change his name real quick. But Joe, welcome to the program, man. I appreciate you jumping on with us this Friday afternoon. While I get your situation fixed out here, I hope all is well with you. What's new with you, my man?
Not much, man. How y'all doing?
What's good? Up?
I don't know about this guest of honor thing, because, you know, I've been in this world for a good little minute, but I, like you said, I'm one of those guys that didn't even know y'all existed. And I've been doing these, you know, these rap notes for a long time. You even had to tell me what rap note was, because that blew my mind as well. So yeah. I was saying, just networking is key to everything. So what's saying, I'm honored to be here with y'all.
That's awesome. Well, it's been an awesome pleasure for us to really interact with you and talk with you. So, Joe, tell us your background. Where did you get started with real estate? How did you get introduced to real estate in the beginning?
I started out like any regular home buyer. Was saying, I bought my house, and then the house next door went up for sale. I bought it, turned into a landlord. And then from a landlord, bought another house. Refinance, rinse, wash, repeat. Next thing you know, I have a small portfolio. Then I started to get into investing. Yeah. But I'm a property manager. I've been doing this for about 20. We're going to say 20 years, because I'm not going to show too much gray. So
That's awesome.
You like being a landlord, Joe?
Landlord's good. I'd rather be the bank. I'd rather service with saying landlords are good until I found out there was a better way. By just, you know, investing in the note side and originating the notes.
Yeah. So absolutely. Being the bank is what we're all about, right? Banks don't own REOs and properties and have that kind of liability. We're not saying it's bad. We're just saying we have an other way of doing this, right? And Joe, it was funny because when we first started talking, I said, well, do you own a wrap note? And you said, no. And we said, well, did you use subby too? Yes. Did you sell it? And you said, yes. He says, we could call that a wrap note. What'd you call it for all this time you've been doing it?
Selling my position. What's that?
Okay.
I sell my position. So.
Right. So it's funny you say that, because, you know, we all have different words for different things, and whoever you teach may just change it just a tad, right? So what we learned about wrap notes and subject twos is that they're very intricacy to build that kind of platform, right? To know what goes into it is you have to be very educated on how to create that subject twos and what you need to make sure that's a legal document. Would that be accurate?
Yep, definitely.
Okay. It's amazing, right? Because there's mortgages, deed of trust in Texas, right, in certain states, and there's land contracts. What have you mostly created when you sold your position, right? What have you mostly created for your security instrument when you sold that asset?
9 times out of 10, I'm creating a land contract, an agreement for deed. Unless there is no underlying mortgage, then, you know, I can create a deed of trust off of that, but I got to get a mortgage origination person for that. Gotcha. But me personally, land contracts. That's what I specialize in.
Gotcha.
And this is in Texas, Joe?
No, I'm in Virginia.
Okay.
Yeah. So being in
All right.
Virginia, land contracts, for those who don't know, we call them contract for deeds. Sometimes they're called lease options. They're a little different, but same kind of concept, right? This idea of you selling your security and then the borrower has to pay off the entire debt before getting the deed. Where a
Correct.
mortgage, you get the deed up front, right? Kind of like a you do like a car kind of purchase where you the title of the car is held until the whole loan's paid off. So tell us a little bit more about how you got introduced to subject twos. How did you learn about them? Did you have a mentor? How did you learn about them?
Well, now naturally, would say as far as the initial learning about them, it started, back at the, I mean, gosh, we're talking years and years ago, but Rich Dad Education, YouTube University, just hearing about these different things, and I didn't believe it, that you could sit there and get a property like that. So I everything that I heard on the internet, I went and paid an attorney to research it, make sure it was legal. And when I, to my surprise, found out it was, I mean, granted, attorneys are not your friends, they're not going to do it for free, so I
Yeah.
learned things at $200 and $300 an hour. But after about 20 hours of education from an attorney, it pretty much I created documents just like the attorney would have created it, and I learned the legal side of it before I learned the investing side of it.
Gotcha. Awesome. So we have a bunch of awesome questions for you. We're gonna put you on the spot. Joe's been a successful property manager and real estate investor. We're going to premise with that, right? He's done plenty of deals. However, there's things that we've come across that we've learned, and we all learn ongoing. I'm not discrediting Joe. We just find that a lot of people who are originating these notes don't know the legality of that because, to be honest with you, most people expect their note to perform forever. So the default is typically not discussed. It's more about forming it, creating it, find the borrower, get them on, paper and get a down payment. As Joe's realized in the month and a half, 2 months we've been talking, is that that's not the 100% right way of doing it, right? So tell us what you did before we met. How did you approve a borrower to buy one of your subject to assets prior to interacting and watching our videos?
Well, basically, I went from my landlord background, let's say. So I would, look at their paycheck stubs, or I would look at their bank account and see that they have a positive cash flow. Could they keep a positive cash flow? Along with keeping that positive cash flow, could you keep it for multiple months? Now, after you keep that positive cash flow in your account, are you able to come up with a upfront payment? I was not aware that what I was doing was skirting and getting real close to what a bank should do, and I should be acting more like a bank and having certain disclosures and stuff. But after I saw them keeping cash in their account, then I would put them on a 12-month trial payment period. If they were able to hold that payment and not default, payments are due on the first, and if I receive it on the first after 12 months, then I would originate the contract for deed. So that's kind of how I went into about it. Learning from, mainly from y'all, and then talking to other attorneys. Okay, I needed to be a little bit more with the origination process and getting the proper disclosures out there.
Yeah. So we're
But
gonna
even
be
still, the
back.
process you were doing that's pretty good.
I'm YouTube
Yeah.
University and lawyers.
So we want to back up for a second. Cindy Coleman, who's a regular attendee, asked, why were you doing land contracts and not mortgages?
Because I wasn't comfortable giving the deed away to anyone until you can prove that you can perform it.
And when you said
That's
that,
smart.
which one of the things you mentioned to me, which was really awesome, before you create this land contract, what do you do with that borrower in your own kind of check to make sure they're able to pay for any length of period at all?
Yeah, just that 12-month trial period.
So that 12-month rental is a good test to see, hey, can you make payments regularly? So
Yep.
you're seasoning a note before you even create the note,
Correct.
which is awesome. I think it's a
fabulous system. I didn't know about the season in terms. That was something else that I learned as well.
That's awesome. So yes, the legal side is what we focus on.
That's awesome. That's really good.
For those who don't know Nathan and I's background, we've been buying notes for over a decade, right? And we started out with the non-performing notes, which was a crisis after those 607 debacle. So we knew the legal side more than performing side, which is just different. So when you got introduced to us, we didn't use the word hypothecation. What would you call? Yeah, yes, Melissa mentioned lease option, owner finance. Yeah, we're owner financing, seller financing these notes. And the security instrument, you create a note, which is the promissory note to pay, and the security instrument that goes to the county, which either mortgage, deed of trust, contract for deed. We prefer mortgages, but we can do either one. When you create this idea and we offer to you to not buy this note, but to give you money and you continue to own the note, why was that attractive to you?
Well, mainly because you're only, you know, contracting for a portion of period of like a 5-year period, a 10-year period or whatever. My note that I'm originating is a 30-year note. So it's like I can borrow against it and then still collect on the other years that I didn't, you know, was saying leverage my position on. So it was a really, really like a win-win for everybody. But in addition to that, the fact that we're able to do that and the deed doesn't have to transfer everything. It's just everything that we're leaning against is the note itself. So that was just like a, you know, like a, just a light bulb click on. It's like, wow. Gotcha. All right. This is cool.
Gotcha. Question from the audience, from Kendrick is, are you using trusts for your subject to wrap notes now?
Yes. Everything is always done in a trust. Yep. Mainly because the trust, the name of the trust is what the public sees, but the terms of the trust, it requires a court order to open it up.
And I would encourage you guys, Joe knows a lot about trusts. He's had a lot of experience handling the beneficiary part and all stuff. I presume he's going to be coming out with some kind of education soon to teach those people who have been doing it, who are watching. In the posted comment, there's a way to get his information. I'd reach out to him and see what kind of education he has regarding how to structure that trust correctly so that you don't get yourself in spot that you kind of get caught up in. So that's awesome. Awesome. Melissa's chiming in.
Are you lending against a CFD or a mortgage? When you're lending to Joe, is the collateral on, is that the CFD or is that a mortgage that you're lending?
Yeah, we're actually lending against a contract for deed right now, a land contract, right? And that we're able to get the borrower, right, to be the lender. So it's a little bit different than I'm used to. I'm out of my comfort zone right now. Right? So we literally hypothecate against land contract. Yeah. Who knew, right?
Yeah, that's cool.
Who I'm watching, I'm not a big land contract person, but it really worked in this case. And we're going to share some of the numbers in a few minutes. But why did you want to hold this note versus sell it to me?
Mainly because my note was for 30 years. If I'm selling it, then I'm totally taking my hands off of it. See, I put the person into the agreement. I back the person. So therefore, if they default or anything like that, I can always step right back in and pick up where they left off. So that's one of the reasons why I would rather sell a portion of time to sell the whole thing total. In addition to that, me backing the borrower that I originate the note, it just makes the situation stronger. You got two people guaranteeing this payment versus one.
Yeah, that's awesome. And with hypothecation, we're really going with the idea that if Joe defaults to us, which we're now the lender, he's a borrower, we have that collateral, which is that contract for deed, as additional security, but we also have his company and him personally sign in this agreement. But like many subject to people, they are not going to default on us, right? they're in most cases have a really low subject 2-4% debt, and they don't want to ever let that go. So they make sure to make our payments so they don't lose this cheap debt out there. So it's really cool. So what are you unlocking when you are able to borrow money? We talked about what you can unlock. Why did this deal work for you? And what other ways can you see borrowing against your position, right? Your wrap note. What can this do? What can this unlock for you?
It unlocks trapped capital. Because when I originate these wrap notes, there's equity in there. There's profit monthly in there. But it's coming over time. So in the big picture, when you look at everything up on a whiteboard or you look at it on a spreadsheet, there's tons of profit in the deal. But I might only be getting $1,000 a month. Might only get $700 a month. There might be $100K in it, but I can't touch that $100K. So therefore, if I can hypothecate, which is a whole new word there, I even had to look that one up. Wow. If I can hypothecate a portion of it, hey, now I got capital. Now I can go out and do other deals and, you know, make other moves.
Yeah. You unlocked equity that was stuck because you did what you did. Share a little bit about what did you get? What was this deal, without getting too much in the weeds, why did this deal win for you? What was about that you need to get done? I know some people are going to lose them here, right? But what did this deal do for you in your situation? What were you stuck? What problem did we solve for you?
Well, pretty much I had a contract obligation on another transaction that I had done a bridge loan against multiple properties. None of these properties were supposed to cash out in any time in the near future. And one of the people that I originated the wrap note with, they sold it to one of their family members. Their family members did not understand the wrap note, the situation, or what they were even got in. So they defaulted to the original go-to. Let me go get a bank loan and pay this off. So when they did that, it came out of the arrangement 5 to 7 years early. And it basically created a situation where if I didn't find out a different way out, there was going to be a lot of consequences.
Wow.
So then I, you know, ran across y'all in one of the investment groups I'm connected to.
Yeah.
And I was like, this sounds too good to be true. Let me go talk to these guys. And
so I'm going to go far fetch here. You needed money, and so people get caught up in this interest rate, which I completely understand. But if I would have charged you 30%, which we don't, this deal worked for you because of what the upside and what you unlock, what you can do with that money, and what it saved. Would I be accurate?
Yes, of course. So there's a couple of reasons why I will not care about an interest rate. Now, granted, if we jump higher than 15%, I'm looking for ways to get out of it quickly, because now I'm feeling more like it's a hard money loan. It's a, you know, high investment loan. I got to be out of it 6 months to a year. But what do I care if it's 15%, 17%, or even 30% if I'm making 75% on a deal? So
that works.
It works.
Right. We can charge 74 and you still make 1%, right? Obviously, we're not doing that.
Exactly.
But we can literally sit there and charge, because people get caught up, well, I'm not going to give away 15, 16%, 20% because it's a deal. But you use our money to make 75% on our money.
Exactly.
And all day long, that works. Twice on Sunday, right?
Exactly.
It's just amazing that I'm glad we can get to talk about. What is more important to you? Getting the most money or the lowest payment on a 5-year or 10-year deal? We're great to let you guys all know we're doing these on either 5 or 10 year. We don't go too much farther, but on a 5-year deal, what is more important to you most of the time? The most cash out or the lowest payment? Because if we do the max cash, it may be above your current P&I that you're receiving from your position wrap note borrower.
Exactly. So in the 5-year mark, the most cash is what I'm looking for, because I'm going to take the cash I'm unlocking and go out and do 2-3 more deals. And therefore, I'm going to absorb the high interest rate for the 5-year part. Now, once we go out to 10 years, and even if we were to get into 10 or 15, now I'm looking for more of a payment, because now I'm structuring the deal around long-term where we're both making profit.
Yep.
Yeah, down the road. So it all depends on the time, the term.
Yeah. So one of the things, too, you didn't realize before we did this deal, and we want to stress, is servicing.
Yeah.
Okay? You create a note, you record the note, which is one thing we learned during this deal. Make sure you record your land contracts, right? Make sure your borrower has everything in hand. But servicing. How are you servicing your note before we talked?
Well, we're saying I got 20 plus years as a property manager. So me servicing it is just using my standard real estate accounting software. Without giving a plug to any particular company, there's three big ones out there, and I use one of the three. So I've been servicing them myself. The more and more I get into these, I will be kicking them over to servicers. And one of the servicers that you introduced me to, I like the way they operate, so I might even start using them as well.
Awesome. It's amazing. Go ahead, Nathan.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we talk about this stuff, what is the key things that you learned during this process? We're going to open up for questioning too, so make sure you get your questions ready. What did you learn through this process? What things did you take away? What things would you do differently in the future for future creation of notes?
Well, pretty much, one, I learned that y'all exist. that's the first thing that was wild. Two, when I, instead of doing my little, property manager, hey, let me sit down and see if you're going to be a good fit, I will actually start to use a mortgage loan origination person so that I have the proper disclosures, so that I don't get caught up in the predatory lending clauses out there that they protect consumers. One of the things that I was already aware of, and most people are not aware of, is the Dodd-Frank guidelines. Mm. Whereas if I'm doing something, and the person that's in the house is an owner-occupant, I can't put a balloon on their product. So therefore, if I'm dealing with another investor or a property manager or a company, then that's a business-to-business transaction. But there are certain protections that, if you're not aware of, Dodd-Frank will penalize you for if you do not give certain guidelines. So you can't do balloons and other little things. So that I was already aware of. But once I start looking into the originations of the loans, I'm like, there's a couple other protections out there that usury laws. That was something that I had to sit down with my attorney and be educated on. And that's something else I learned from y'all. Yeah. That's basically one of the things I'll do different.
We went over, what was the one thing I pointed out about your notes that I said, dude, you can't do this anymore, about some of the terms of your notes?
Terms?
4-5%? Yeah.
The interest rate. So let's say I was to take over a note at 3%. I would sell that note to someone else for 6%. I'm happy with the 3% return, but there's not enough money for multiple people to be involved. So,
Nathan, what do you think about that? You get a list of seller finance notes they created at 6%.
Was that noted? Was that
don't try to compete with a bank.
Yes, you're right. Banks are giving loans at 6, 7, 8, 10%. Why are you doing it, right? What are you getting from it? And I get Joe's point that he was making a 3% spread. But you can't sell it. You can't borrow against it. So don't create those notes at 6, 7, 8%. You got to be above 10 if you can create it. There's also that ability to repay. So you got to make sure the borrower can pay the payment, but get that loan up. That borrower may not be the right borrower for your asset. So the ability to repay is part of that process of underwriting. We have nationwide RMLOs that we can connect you with. But yeah, Joe, no more 5% notes, 6%
notes. Oh,
you'll
never see another 5% note from me. Good. Saying, good thing. That one that we were doing was 9%, and that was a fluke, was saying, because normally I'm between 6 and 8%, and I actually went 9% on that last one. And you're like, that's the bare minimum I want to see from you. So I'm like, yeah.
So those people who are doing it, I want to see in the chat box and YouTube, what percentage are you averaging when you create that wrap note, that position selling? And if you use a different term, let us know as well. What rates are you selling your notes at? I'm curious to see where that kind of that range is. Are you 6 to 8, 8 to 10? No feelings hurt. What were you doing beforehand? And while you tell us that in your comments, I'll share a little bit about, we have a great chart that we provide everyone to show what happens if you create notes at 5 or 6, and we want, let's just go crazy, 20%. What kind of discount you're going to expect if that note is lower? Because notes are not bought on UPB. We've done plenty of webinars on it. It's based on that, the term numbers. What was the, you know, the length of the term? What is the interest rate? Because those two driving factors drive what you can sell the note. Remember that interest rate is your annual return on the note for note buyers. Everything else is principal. So I would encourage you guys to take a look at the chart. I put in the link a website that I have to kind of look at the FAQs, our frequently asked questions. And if you want to submit a note for us to look at, to hypothecate, to lend against, you can put it in there. With that said, I'd like to, awesome, we've seen 10s and 12s. This is great, right? Remember, I know Rakesh in LinkedIn said he's new. So Nathan, what do you think about all this? This is good. New for us.
New people are welcome.
Yeah. So Nathan, what do you think about all this? This is great stuff.
This is really, really good. And just going to the creation of your note and what kind of interest rate, the reason that the person is seller financing is because they can't get a loan from a bank. So because they can't get a loan at a bank at 7 or 8%, you have every right to charge more because you're offering a specialized service. So they can't qualify normally. That's not to say they're not good borrowers. They just don't fit the bank's box.
Yeah.
As a self-employed person, it's hard for me to get a bank loan, and I make plenty of money, but I'm self-employed and banks don't like that. And so it's hard for me to get that loan. So it's those kind of people. A lot of the time, self-employed people that just need a loan, they just don't fit the bank's box. So I really like this. We looked at the numbers on this together with the hypothecation. To me, it makes more sense than, like, for me to buy them, it makes more sense than as a partial. Yeah. Just because I'm always in the back of my mind, I have to be thinking about, okay, at the end of my fund, I have to liquidate and pay everybody back their capital. So there has to be something there that I can sell at the end, some way that I can bump out in order to get that capital back.
And I'll say this for those.
Hypothecation from the numbers.
Yeah. So partial kind of hurts because you don't get that principal number back. But I would tell you that if you are looking to be passive, reach out to us. We can help you out with that. Capital costs is our biggest threshold in our business. So if you are looking for, you know, to get into deals with that, reach out to us. We can make things happen for you that may work for your numbers. So if you're tired of your 5% money in the banks or 6% CDs, let us know. We're seeing 12s, 10s, 11s, which is great. So one of the questions we got was, how do you avoid usury laws that go above 10%? How do we avoid usury laws? It scares me to go above 10%. Each state has regulations, and there's a federal government regulation of what it can be. So yes, there's sometimes the usury law per state is fixed, but the federal government allows certain things. So I would tell you to talk to your attorney, local attorney, to see what you can do and what you can't do in your state. So good question, Gerald. And yes, absolutely. So Joe, when we do these kind of things, if someone's looking to do this, what would you tell them about the process? What was overwhelming for you? What was easy for you? What makes sense to you?
Well, a lot of it, nothing really was overwhelming. Some of it was new learning. And then one of the things that it becomes when you do it properly, it gets really, really close to the feel of a standard closing. So the original arrangements that you're working with your the person that you're borrowing, the end borrower, not me, but the end borrower, you might give them some leeways. Hey, maybe they don't hit the 40% that the bank was saying that they But you know, with that being said, there still's got to be some kind of guidelines that, you know, you're not loaning or putting someone in these projects that's in a 75% DTI range. So we're saying, you know, you might do 50% or whatever, but you got to still be responsible for whatever you're doing. And the amount of legal paperwork that follows up behind everything is very similar to a closing. So that's one of the things that was one of the biggest things that I learned.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, we did full. And, you know, when we first started doing this, one of the things we concerned with was we're asking for personal guarantees and company guarantees. How did that make you feel? Were you nervous about that? Or you're like, I'm going to go be making 75%. I'm not worried about that at all.
Not worried about it at all because of the interest rate on what I'm going to make potentially. Second, not worried about it because when I'm stepping into these subject to situations, I'm basically, when I tell an original seller, is like, look, I'm going to step in. I might go out and find someone to sell this, sell my position to. But if they default, we're going to come in and step in. So that's one of the things that I say to people to make them consider subject to versus going the traditional route. Yeah. I mean, that and they can sell, you know, save all the realtor costs and all the closing attorneys and everything like that. So a lot of times, sometimes that's $20,000, $30,000 for people. So it works as well.
Yeah. So it's amazing. I'd like to see some questions in there about the process and stuff like that, because this made a lot of sense for us, right? For us note buyers, we've taught a lot of these note creators out there. For note buyers who are watching us, understand the fact that I didn't get an 11%. I didn't get a 12. I'm north. I'm double digits, well, double digits, right? We got into the fact that we're hitting 15 plus return. I don't know anyone else doing that right now in notes. I mean, as a performing note. And the good thing about this for note buyers, if this thing defaults, right, it takes me a lot to get to the point where I have to foreclose. It's pretty much almost a lock solid that if it defaults, I have Joe, I have his company, and I have the asset to back me up on getting this deal done and fixed. And we can limit how much we give them based on the percentage of UPB, value of property. This property we bought was $130,000 property. We bought we lent him $53,000, right? We're well in good position. And if anything goes crazy, we're well covered. So would you make that deal giving 15% for that situation? Now, it's not, you know, it's not a note on a property, but it's still an IOU. We're still playing the bank process. So if you run the numbers and you get into this, I'll probably be holding some stuff in September, some webinars on more details, but note buyers, think about it from that perspective. Note creators, this idea of what we're doing is awesome for you. You're unlocking equity, right? If you bought a note, you're into the note for 50 grand, right? The underlying debt, and you sold for 150 grand, you can unlock that money. We usually do about 65% of property value. You can unlock some of the equity. So just a definite interest for you guys to do it. If you own a property outright, we can definitely get in a spot where we can not buy the note. We can actually lend against it. We can also buy it. So, Joe, tell us a little bit about what you're going to be doing in the future to increase this. What are you doing in your business now that will help you do more business in this sector, subby twos and wraps? And what are you doing now to increase that flow in Virginia?
Well, basically, when I'm unlocking capital, and unlocking equity that's been trapped, it allows me to provide more of a service. So I run a solutions-based company. I like to go out, stop foreclosures, stop tax liens, tax sales. Basically, where people are going through some kind of trauma, I call it trauma because anytime you lose a family member, you lose a job, you lose a wife, especially if you lose a wife, it creates an emotional trauma that takes a minute to recover. And a lot of people will just bury their hands in the sand. And when they do that, it creates an opportunity for me to stabilize their situation and also pick up another asset.
Hmm. Interesting.
Very cool.
Amazing. Yeah. I don't see any questions in the feed, but I will. What I will do is, if there's additional questions for Joe, you can reach out to him through the link that we shared in the beginning to get more questions. If you have questions for us, let us know. I think it's time, Nathan. What kind of weather question you got for Joe?
And I'm very curious about this, Joe. Yeah, I'm really curious about this because the more I think about it, the more I see subject to purchasing being a really good option. Are you seeing a rise in this in the last year, or what do you see coming up on the horizon?
Well, especially with the interest rate being as high as they are on the traditional market, it makes going subject to, because you're buying something that was originated 10 years ago. So therefore, I'm able to pick up a unit at 3-5%. I even have one that the other day I picked up that's 2.25%. And then I'll sit there and sell it to someone else at 9 or 10%. And then I cash flow on a monthly. But now I can also cash flow on a monthly and hypothecate a portion of that and unlock more capital to do more deals. So therefore, that's why I don't care about the 15% number if I'm able to do 3-4 deals for that 15% money.
That's awesome.
Note buyers, beware, right? The traditional buying from banks that we've been doing forever may be shifting, right? If you want to keep totally chasing that 4 or 5% notes, have fun. Good luck. You better have really cheap capital, right? We're in a different world now. We got to shift. Note creators, we love you guys. Please reach out. Our website, our podcasts, our webinars, and also the DME coming up next year. Encourage you guys to communicate with us and ask us questions. We know that a lot of this stuff is brand new, right? The information is interesting. So I encourage you guys just to ask us, you know, questions about what we do, what we're doing, and stuff like that. So Randolph, I see your question regarding what's Joe contact information. I'll put in the chat again how to get in and stuff like that. Please make sure you fill it out and you'll get a quick email regarding what the email address is for him. It's in the pinned comment as well. So Gerald, I know that the question was regarding, I jumped in late. You're looking for an email regarding what is a hypothecation. I would encourage you guys go to my website. I created a FAQ, and I would encourage you guys to go listen to the previous webinar we had with Sean, which was comparing what note partials was compared to note partials compared to hypothecations. They're very similar. You're just selling me. I'm just lending you money based on a note, and you continue to hold the note and get the cash flow, right? So the biggest thing is hypothecation is just you are now using your note as collateral to borrow money. You're not using the property to borrow money, right? You're using the note to borrow money. It's you are not selling a note, which the note partial and selling note is selling the note. You're changing hands for any period of time where hypothecation, the note does not transfer. Sean, our attorney, did a great job describing the differences. You're not selling that actual note. You're just borrowing money and using those collateral and paying off that debt in 5-10 years. So if you have assets, I sent you a link to go fill out. Let us know that. Joe, I really appreciate you jumping on and kind of being open to sharing some of the troubles you've had and issues and concerns you've had. It's been a joy to actually work with you the last month or so. We've got to know each other pretty well. I'd like to ask you, what final words do you have for the people out there who are either brand new to Subic 2s or who have a bunch of Subic 2s and are curious about this strategy of unlocking?
Well, if you're brand new to Subic 2s, learn the basics, the laws, the Garde-Saint-Germain Act 1985. Learn the rules before you do them, because if you don't, you're going to run into that due on sale clause that is going to mess you up. But if you are, you have existing ones that you've done, then networking, these note buyers, that's another exit strategy that, you know, is a nice little way out. But it's also a nice way to unlock the capital that's trapped, because a lot of us subject to people, we make our money over town.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Well, Joe, yeah. it was a pleasure to have you on. It was a pleasure to have you join us and share your knowledge and experience. I encourage everyone to reach out to Joe. He has some great things coming up as well. And we'll hopefully get Joe down to DME in June. So May, June, I keep forgetting the date on it, but it's my calendar. But
well, just put it on my calendar, and you know.
It works. Yeah, so
it works.
May 31st, June 1st.
Yep. So feel free to take a look at that. This will be recorded for those who are asking. Thank you so much for all the kind words and everything else. As Cindy said, this is the next generation of note and capital. I totally agree. We encourage you guys to reach out. We will talk to everyone soon. Joe, hold on for after hours, right. And it was a pleasure. We'll talk soon. Thanks a lot, everyone.